Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars rewards. That means, win or lose, every bet you place brings you closer to the type of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app using promo code RadioDYW. Place your first bet of $1 or more for a chance to double your winnings on your next 10 bets. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. Max bet of $25 for doubled winnings. Max, additional winnings of $2,500 per bet. Profit boost tokens expire 14 days after receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
It's Monday Hollow Cult. You know what that means. We're here to kick it with you. Hang out. Drop kick that work week into submission. It's a good time. If you're new here and don't like listening to us get through all the business, you don't want to fast forward to 4 or 5 minutes when we start to get into the meat of the episode. But if you like listening to us talk, feel free to hang out. Check us out at all our social medias. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. You'll find us. Come and hang out with us. Follow, like, subscribe. Join the cult. It's a cool community. Just a cool thing to do. It's a lot of fun. Everybody has a good time. Sometimes people argue in the comments of videos, but you know what? That happens. It's human nature. And we deal with it. We just do. Yeah. If you have a paranormal experience that you'd like for us to feature on a future show, Kyle's got some details for you.
I do. It's easy peasy. Always in the show notes. But you can write your story out or ask for interview through the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. And like I said before, get at us through the email. Easiest way. Easiest way, we take that information, file it in our patented system, and we go the direction we need to go. Whether it's we talk about it on one show or you come on and be a part of the show, that's up to you. So make your choice, hit send, and we will receive.
It really boils down to whether or not we get to hear it from your words. Or you get to hear my sultry voice read your words. So, let's think about it.
Yeah.
You guys listen to me talk all the time. It's time for the Hollow Cult to have a voice. So, send us some voice memos. Please and thank you.
There's that. And then we're just come on the show.
Or come on the show.
You got a cool story. Let's tell it. You tell it.
We want to hear it.
We'll talk it.
The weirder, the better.
Yes.
Have you been abducted by a New Jersey drone? We want to hear it.
Probably.
Were you attacked by a psychic vampire? We want to hear it. Possessed by a goetic demon? We want to hear it. stalked by the Men in Black and the Mothman at the same time? We want to hear it. Were you abducted by a Bigfoot, forced to live in a cave for months on end, eating nothing but pine cones? We want to hear it.
That sucks.
Yeah, I don't make the rules. You know the rules. Are you presently a ghost from someone that perished on the Titanic? We want to hear it.
It's a fair request.
Are you currently stuck in the Bermuda Triangle, but the only source of communication you have is via internet connection to the Hollow Sky podcast?
Yeah.
We want to hear it. It's easy. Just do it. After that, you're probably sitting there wondering, man, how could I help support these two and support the show that they're doing? Well, I got some information for you. We have a Patreon. $7 a month, you get not only this great banter, but you also get shows that are not released to the general public. You get these shows early drops. These shows without ads. You get music from Casket Breath. It's really a good time. Pretty much the best thing you could do. So, check that out. Probably merch coupons coming up too. Also, you can go to hollowskypodcast.com. Speaking of merch, go over there to the store, find something you like, bada bing, bada bang, rep the Hollow Cult, be a cool merch, and you're just going to be a cool person. Also, share the show anywhere people talk about spooky stuff. If you got a favorite paranormal podcast you'd like for us to link up with, throw our names out to them. Have them get in touch with us. We're easy guys to find. Let's keep expanding the Hollow Cult. That's the way to do it. Got to break out of your little circle. Got to get out there. It's awesome. You can also go to wherever your heart desires and leave a 5-star rating and review, and I will get that, shout you out. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from user what in the butt.
Yeah.
Penis emoji.
Oh.
Yeah. So what in the butt says, you guys are awesome. 5 stars. Been following you guys since I heard you from the confessionals. You guys are awesome. My number one podcast. Keep up the great work, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, what in the butt.
We appreciate that.
Wiener emoji. We do appreciate you. We're glad. A, we're glad you've been here for the long haul. And B, we're glad that we are your top show.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it just fits. It just works itself out. We're happy you're here. We appreciate you. Now that I've bantered into the 6-minute realm, people are going to think I'm a liar. But it's time. Kyle's about to jump in to some grossness.
I am.
Into the grease.
I am. So, with that being said, this episode is going to get a little bit of a warning, a little precursor warning. It is going to get a little graphic, unsettling thought process, images. It is unsettling, to say the least. But I stumbled on this cool little article on Reddit about aliens, UFOs, and human mutilation. So I'm like, well, I want to dig into this. You know, you don't hear a whole lot about this. And it gets linked to a documentary that came out several years ago, I think around 2013-ish area, maybe before that. I don't really remember. I know it had to been around 2013. Anyways, from Richard D. Hall, called UFOs and NATO, the Human Mutilation Cover-Up.
Don't trust them.
The episode starts off, or the documentary, I should say, starts off with a terrifying story. I tried to look into it a little bit more because I feel like there's aspects of it missing. I was unable to find any more, but it starts off with this. 1909, during a Christmas party, a father asked his 11-year-old son to go to the well to fetch a bucket of water. Everyone is then startled because they could hear the boy screaming, and so everyone runs outside. They could hear a voice in the sky, the little boy's voice, saying, "They've got me, they've got me."
No. Don't.
Yeah. Not the funnest way to start off an episode. Not a great way to spend a Christmas party.
I think I've heard this story before, but it wasn't in, I don't know if it was necessarily in regards to abduction. Maybe it was missing 411, which, I mean, kind of, it goes hand in hand with abduction, but I do remember the voice in the sky.
That'll fit a little more here in the story, the 411 phenomenon.
And that's so, the fact that it was before essentially the industrial technological revolution makes it that much crazier.
Yeah.
Because there's essentially no way for this kid to be pulled into the sky, into the atmosphere.
Yeah. Yep. So after that story, it kind of starts to break through some of the animal mutilation cases, and Richard has a UK expert speaking on the matter. They talk a little bit about the types of mutilations, like the tongue being removed, the ears, the lips, the genitals, inner organs, so on and so on. All of them always almost seem with extreme precision, which is all that is probably one of the most baffling parts of the cattle mutilations is it is not rips and tears. It is not bite marks. It's coring samples. It's precision cuts, so on and so forth. Then it moves into a case that I know Steve covered way back in the day, probably the beginning of the show. And I think it was in the episode Darkest Skies, because you also had found cases of human mutilations. And the one that gets mentioned in this is the man in Brazil in 1988. And once again, a little reminder, if you watch this documentary, it shows the photos. It shows everything.
Was this the guy on the water reservoir?
I don't remember because they didn't really get into a whole lot of the details. Yeah. But he had basically a rectal core.
Yep.
So on and so forth. Big, like, almost looked like burn holes through his body and all that stuff. Jaw stripped, tongue removed, the rectal core, internal organs removed.
Yeah, don't tell me aliens are cool.
Yeah.
Don't sit here and try to tell me that I'm not swinging on them first.
It gets worse.
It's going to get worse for them.
Yeah.
Because I'm coming in.
Then a source of his tells about how other cases of human mutilation have taken place in the UK, and that supposedly Margaret Thatcher, by the order of Ronald Reagan, was put in charge of a secret group that was to cover up human mutilations. What's even crazier, kind of makes a little bit of sense, Steve. The I forget his name, and I apologize for that, but the animal expert even suggests that the hikers from the Dyatlov Pass incident were subject to this phenomenon. Yep.
I heard the same thing, because I think one of them's tongue was missing.
Yeah, and one of the upper jaw, like upper lips, was taken off. Remember, a lot of them had fractured bones,
traces of radiation.
Yeah. So the expert thinks that what had happened was a UFO came, abducted all of them, decided to operate on two of them, and decided the other ones were essentially waste, and kicked them from the craft, essentially. Fall down and end up breaking bones and everything else.
I feel like, especially with Dyatlov, alien abduction is often overlooked. it's always mentioned, it's always thrown in the hat, but it always swerves out somewhere different, like an avalanche or like some sort of weird Yeti attack or government. What's the word I'm looking for? Government experiment gone wrong kind of thing. The alien abduction feels really plausible when you put it in terms like that.
Yeah. And because I know that I think what he was saying was two of the bodies had these similarities to the mutilations. The other ones did not.
Yeah.
One of them was a woman, and she had, because it shows pictures of her and it showed pictures of the Brazil man, and both of them, they were kind of similar.
Did the woman have her breasts removed?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what I do remember reading about that.
And
she had
her top lip
taken
off too, just like the Brazil guy did.
That's weird.
It is weird. Like when they're put side by side like that, you're like, oh shit, like I see that now. But oddly enough, Richard calls Linda Moulton Howe and has a conversation about these mutilations. He brings up the man from Brazil, and believe it or not, Linda, and it's a audio recording, you hear it. Linda kind of throws a fit. She takes it as her name got brought up into this situation, and essentially this guy that originally presented the Brazil photos was dragging her name through the mud.
Was he legitimately doing it, or did she perceive it like that?
She perceived it like that. Because what the guy essentially did, to my understanding, was he brought up the Brazil case at like a conference or something of the man. And he compared it. All he did was compare it to Linda Moulton Howe's research into cattle mutilations.
She didn't want to be.
She wanted nowhere near this.
I gotcha.
And it's weird, right? Because she does openly cover tons of alien stuff. She openly covers the cattle mutilations, but wants no part of this situation at all whatsoever.
That is strange. It feels like there's a lot of underlying implications and things going on behind the scenes there.
Yeah. And what's crazy is, so that guy that presented the Brazil man photographs, he sends them to Linda. Linda takes those photographs, goes to her ex-military medical doctor, lays them down on the table and says, what do you think of these? And she said, without a second's notice, the doctor goes, I saw a lot of this in Vietnam. And she's like, excuse me? He's like, Agent Orange does this to people. When people were exposed to Agent Orange, they would have these deep penetration spots surrounded by what looks like burns. However, it's just carbon marks. And so he was claiming that it's the same thing, Agent Orange.
I want to right off the bat say that's weird, but I don't know what any symptoms of Agent Orange are.
I don't either.
Oddly enough.
But I highly doubt that Agent Orange takes rectal cores.
I hope not.
I'm just saying. But then it got me thinking, right? With her response to that, did she try to keep her distance from these for a reason? Or could she have been threatened? Because the mutilation, animal mutilation expert that was on there, or not mutilation, but an animal expert, he said that he had talked to Linda, and Linda has been confronted and threatened at gunpoint before.
Over the same...
I don't know if it was over the same thing or not, but she has been threatened before.
Yeah, I don't feel like she is really one to shy away from the topic.
No.
Which makes me feel like she either is privy to knowledge that something is going on and being covered up, or she's been threatened before on this specific subject.
Very well could be. And it also made me wonder, and I am not take this shit out of context, but it also makes me wonder how every once in a while these alphabet agencies, these black ops people, it's almost like they'll, like, let's say Linda got so far and they're like, all right, you know what? You've made it into this realm. We're going to allow your existence, but you're going to play ball. Okay. You're going to play ball. You're working for us now. You kind of get to do your thing, but at the end of the day, you're going to work with us.
It's definitely happened before.
It has. And I'm not saying that is reality. I'm saying these things happen, right?
Yep.
But after Richard puts out his documentary called Silent Killers, which is strictly on the animal mutilation, he had a rather interesting comment that was left on one of his message boards from a man named Derek Goff. Derek was basically talking shit about how people who are in the know, like Linda Moulton Howe, are speaking about animal mutilations. However, Derek knows that they also know about human mutilations and are doing nothing about it. This catches Richard's attention because I don't think Richard had ever heard of human mutilation cases. So he's like, he messages Groff and he's like, okay, can you elaborate on this? Like, what are you talking about? Then it prompts a meeting between Derek Goff and Richard Hall. And they start to discuss the human mutilation case. People in the UFO community initially, they do what they do, right? And they start to openly talk shit about Derek and his story. But over time, and now at the point of this documentary, Richard now vouches for Derek and his story, because a lot of his stories end up being corroborated. So in 1996, Derek Goff worked for a UFO magazine called Global. Derek was a very boots on the ground investigator. He would spend the night out in places where UFO reports had happened, because he was almost kind of like me and Steve, where he's this UFO enthusiast. He wants to be like a boots on the ground. I want to expose the truth. That's who he wanted to be. And he ends up going to this location where, and I could admire his hustle. He prints out these flyers and he's like, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. If you've witnessed any strange things in this area or any other areas, please call me. Here's my number. And he puts up these flyers everywhere, right? Believe it or not, in 1997, he receives a phone call from one of his flyers.
I love it. DIY.
Yeah.
That's why we put the QR code stickers out there.
Yep.
Which I'm mailing. I have a whole stack. I got like 40 of them going out.
I know, it's awesome. But the caller is like, hey, man, I want to meet up. I have some pretty interesting things to disclose about UFOs in South Wales and other areas around the world. This man said that he was part of a military group of 11 men and that they were a part of a NATO Black Ops team. All of the men had been selected from special forces.
I want that to happen to us.
I know. And the way that it goes is that it was a very interesting, where I guess the commanders would approach the unit and was like, hey, we need volunteers for a specific unit. We can't tell you what it is. Can't tell you what you'd be doing. Nothing. But we need volunteers for it. And once you're in it, you're in it. You can't leave. It is what it is. And so these men are like, yeah, we'll do it, you know, whatever. And the team was essentially a part of a fast response, find and secure team, which sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I would have been probably pretty stoked at first to be a part of this until I kind of figure out what happened here.
So you realize that aliens were corn people's buttholes.
Yeah. That would suck. The downside to that situation is that these guys were on call 24/7. Gross. They never had time off. Whenever they got called, they had to immediately respond. So they were probably pretty isolated men. No families, no nothing, you know. But with Derek's military contact, he said with his run with this unit, he saw at least 30 to 40 mutilated bodies in different countries, including UK, Ireland, Scotland, Spain, Germany, Alaska, Australia, Russia, and Yugoslavia. And he says that I am 100% sure this happens in everywhere over the world. It happens everywhere. Derek's contact said that, and I quote, the Yanks kind of ran things with this unit. Basically, even though it was a NATO op, the Americans were kind of the ones that called the shots. The crazy thing is that over the course of time, Richard himself is able to make contact with this military contact. That's why in the end, he ends up being able to vouch for Derek. The contact even said that the Russians knew about what was going on, but they were more or less, which is crazy, Steve, because remember you found that old CIA article that said that the Americans and the Russians worked together during the Cold War to find certain things. This, in my opinion, this kind of corroborates that, because according to this military contact, he was like, the Russians knew about it, they'd experienced it, but they were more than happy to let the Americans come in and basically do cleanup because they didn't have to deal with it, and the Americans had better technology to deal with this type of stuff.
Yep. You heard the same thing in the case where the occupants of the UFO turned the 12 Russian soldiers into stone.
Yep.
That there were specific, it also might be in the Sarashina hole that we talked about, that hole they found.
Yeah.
And they don't know what was in it, but whatever it was, they ended up concreting it. One of those two stories talked about areas in Russia that were basically cordoned off that the U.S. kind of was privy to. They could go over and like run tests and do all kinds of weird shit over there. So it kind of lines itself up too.
Yeah. It's crazy, because according to the contact, he witnessed bodies that were identical to the animal mutilations, and that once his NATO team would arrive on the scene, they would immediately lock it down and secure it. A lot of times they would create an initial perimeter around the scenario, and then they would fan out and create a larger one as well to help keep people out. Creepy enough, he said, once we locked it down and secured it, we had to wait there until the American team would come. And he's like, I dubbed the American team the collectors. We would have to wait for the collectors to arrive, because the Americans were the ones that would come in and take the UFOs and the bodies. They would take everything. And it definitely sounds like something that America would do.
I just read something else. Man, I can't remember. I don't know if it was Brazil or what. There was some sort of UFO crash, and the Americans were called in to basically recover everything and take.
It's crazy. That's crazy that it also gets kind of cooperated in a different part of the world.
Yeah.
But it could still be that the team's still up and running too.
Yeah.
But when the situation would happen, a UFO report would come in, the team gets dispatched, they arrive, lock the scene down, body is found, the collectors arrive and remove the body. Eventually, local law enforcement shows up and starts poking around. The NATO team mentions nothing about the person that was found. So one of the questions is, well, what happens to these people that are found? What happened, you know, the bodies that they find? The contact said they simply allow the person to get put on the missing persons list indefinitely. They never speak about the identity of that person ever. Ever.
That's so crazy,
man. Yeah. Yep. And when it comes to locking scenes down, he said that his team would have to secure the site until the collectors arrived. Sometimes that could take up to 5 days. He's like, there were times when we were out in the middle of nowhere for 5 days, fending, like literally fending for ourselves, waiting for the American team to arrive. Because once they were on scene, they could not leave.
Just the anxiety of sitting there waiting for the possibility that whatever did this damage in the first place could possibly make its way back is crazy.
Yeah, because they also didn't just deal with bodies. They dealt with downcraft, everything.
What I was referencing a couple minutes ago wasn't Brazil, it was South Africa. I found a CIA article where two UFOs were dogfighting and shot each other down in some desert. I know it's a big main desert, but I can't think of it right now. But anyway, after they were shot down, quote, the Americans arrived on the scene fairly quickly from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in two C-5 Galaxy transports. The end result was that the UFOs plus the entities were shipped back to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. So virtually exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I mean,
corroborated.
It definitely adds up. Which is, that is fucking crazy, dude. It's crazy that we're leaking other aspects to this story. When Derek's military contact first reached out, and Derek, he pulled a fast one on the military guy. Derek recorded the conversation secretly. And Derek did what a lot of us would do and began to speak about it with not only his friends, but he ends up taking it to the police as well, which isn't the brightest idea. Anyways, a mysterious fire breaks out in his office at home, and all of his files were burned. His wife became so frightened by the incident that she ends up leaving him. They do get back together later on, and that whole little snippet there gets a lot more elaborated on here shortly. But Derek at that point is like, all right, I'm in over my head. I'm going to take all of the information that I have and I'm going to hand it off to another man named Tony Dodd. Tony Dodd was an ex-cop turned UFO hunter. And he wrote a book called Alien Investigator. The military guy ends up working with Tony Dodd, and before he did that, he made Tony prove who he was with credentials and all. So he's like, all right, you are who you say you are. All of the men in this group, as Tony began to investigate, were basically, let me go back here. One of the questions that Tony would ask is, you know, why are any of you in this 5-8 group coming forward? Why? And he's like, listen, man, the things that we saw, everyone needs to know about this. Because what's going on is terrifying. This should not be a secret. People need to realize what's happening out there. And so Tony's like, all right, you know, that kind of makes sense. And he began to elaborate more on what was happening. The military contact told Tony that on a crash site in Spain, they found several human bodies spread around a crash site, all naked and without body hair, and all were mutilated, having limbs and other things cut off. He also spoke of another case in a field over the course of 3 weeks, where they found 7 mutilated bodies, all with classic signs and a few new ones. They had missing tongues, eyes, jaw strips, which is essentially the cheeks. They also had missing hair. And when you say missing hair, you think of head hair, pubic hair, but he's like the entire body.
That's so weird.
The entire body had no hair on it at all.
That's so weird. What would the purpose of that be?
I don't know. And I guess that in particular, the field with 7 bodies was so disturbing. And I'm assuming, based on what I remember and heard, that, well, I don't know if it was the police that devised it or if the group helped police devise it, whatever it was. They devised a cover story in case any of it got out that someone was just dumping mannequin bodies in the field.
What?
That was the best they could come up with.
I'm wondering. Okay, so they found the 7 bodies over a 3-week span. So that implicates that essentially whatever this thing is would, say, dump a body on day 1 and then dump a body on day 4.
Yeah.
As opposed to like there being 7 bodies there, it just took them 3 weeks to find.
No, I think the way I took it was the same way. That's
what I thought too.
They would dump in periodical
which
days.
Is ballsy, especially if you've got police presence there investigating.
Doesn't that almost send a message too?
Yeah, like try to stop us.
Yeah.
Because serial killers do that.
Right.
Like the Green River Killer would dump a body and then dump a body not too far from there. There was one specific case where they had police on duty waiting to see if he would come back to the crime scene. Those cops went out for coffee 15 minutes, and in the time period that they went out, he had went back to the crime scene.
That's crazy.
It is. It's like a flex.
Yeah.
It's like a,
yeah,
just a middle finger. Like you can't stop what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Holocult. We are back and we're excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. Have you ever been to a dentist who just wants to chat to you while he's got his hand stuck in your mouth? Or a dermatologist who brings up your cosmetic issues before you do? Oof. Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to settle anymore when it comes to finding the right doctor. With ZocDoc, you've got options. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. Once you find the right doctor, you can see their actual appointment openings and choose a time slot that works for you and your family, and then click to instantly book that visit. I haven't needed to actually book a doctor's appointment, thankfully, but I have gotten on the app and booked some mock appointments, and it is so easy. Believe me when I say it's a one-stop shop. You can get in there and search up your insurance to see who's got you covered. You can search up your ailments for specialists from cosmetic issues, dermatology issues, all across the board. And you can even book appointments that's within the next 24 to 48 hours. It is really, really nice. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/HOLO1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. Hey, Holocult. Do you remember a time where if you wanted weed, you had to meet up with some sketchy dude behind the dumpster in a Denny's parking lot? You don't have to do that anymore because you can get federally legal THC shipped right to your front door. How can you get that done? With Mood. Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. I'm talking high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. Every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars rewards. That means win or lose, every bet you place brings you closer to the type of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app using promo code RadioDYW, place your first bet of $1 or more for a chance to double your winnings on your next 10 bets. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. Max bet of $25 for doubled winnings. Max additional winnings of $2,500 per bet. Profit boost tokens expire 14 days after receipt. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
I even hate to talk about this. There was an 8-year-old girl that was found with all the signs, and that's as far as I'll speak on that one. There was another one involving a 4x4 vehicle. A family was essentially inside this vehicle. They all went missing for a while. Searches began to take place. They found the vehicle. No one was found inside. And they said, oddly enough, all of the seats had been ripped out in a bizarre fashion. That was the way it got worded.
That's weird.
Super weird. How do you rip out seats in a bizarre fashion?
Yeah. Right? Like.
And then it gets creepier. A few days later.
Almost like they were seat belted in.
And probably
pulled out.
Probably. But a few days later, the family was found laid out in a row by the roadside with all the signs of the mutilation.
What? This is a documentary, you said?
Yep.
Oh. Do I want to watch it?
It's good.
I do, but
it's good. From here, you get to hear the story from Derek Goff's mouth, because Richard actually gets to interview Derek Goff. And he refuses to be on camera, but he allows audio. Do you hear the audio? Richard was able to sit down and have this conversation. During his interview, Derek was going on about the military contact on their first ride along together. So this would be the first time that he meets the military guy. They verified things quickly and spoke about his job and what he was to do, which, as we've kind of gone over, he was there to find and secure. Then as the conversation continues, he pulls out fucking pictures of bodies and shows Derek, which of course takes him by surprise. I don't think he was ready for that. I don't think any of us would be ready for that, because the pictures were not only of bodies, but they were of a young girl and a man. They had the classic signs, the missing cheeks or the jaw straps, whatever you want to call them. Missing genitals, missing teeth, missing eyes, hair was gone. The young man, who was 21, was missing all of his skin. Derek said it was like the top layer of his skin was just gone.
What?
Yeah. And being shown those photos probably shell-shocked Derek, because he's just an article writer. He's a UFO enthusiasts like Steve and I. Could you imagine sitting down with some dude and him just go plop, 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 plop? Here's what I saw on one of my cases.
Oh.
Like, that's a straight up shell shock. Not to mention the fact that the girl was so young. Because I think she was 14. That puts it in a whole new world of problems.
Yeah, they are indiscriminate.
Yeah.
As to.
But not only that, imagine, like. Like, imagine you being there with somebody and then them busting out crime scene photos of a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Bro, that puts you in hot water fast. So one of the questions I want to present real quick before we carry on is, the pieces of body they're taking are so peculiar.
I was thinking the same thing.
You know what I mean?
Funny you bring that up. I was thinking
like the jaw straps is bizarre. But it made me wonder, and this probably isn't connected, but it just makes me wonder because like there are some jobs out there you would go for a drug screen, right? And they would take your hair follicles because hair follicles show way further back than just a urine sample. So I wondered almost to a degree if some of the parts of our body have a log to them, so to speak.
That is interesting.
I'm not, you know, it does make sense to a degree.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's more to it.
I was thinking the same thing, not along the lines of like the body parts being a log, but I do like that. As to like why they were taking like the jaw straps is such a weird spot for me. Like you can almost understand the eyes because they are very uniquely human in humans. The genitals are kind of the same way.
Yeah.
But the jaw straps are just weird. The hair, just taking all the hair is weird. Unless it's some sort of like symptom of what's going on, like some sort of advanced radiation or something
could
that make it all fall out. I don't know.
It's
so weird, bro. It's so weird.
I'll never understand. It has to be some type of data collection to some degree. I just don't know what it is.
Unless they're using it for some sort of cloning process.
Could be.
Maybe there's something specific about the tissues in our jaws. I don't know. Sucks. That's why you swing first.
Yeah.
Don't ever get in the crafts with them. Don't ever.
Yeah. Not voluntarily.
No, I was, it's funny that.
Don't go quiet.
I was low key looking, doing some research on an episode about an alien abduction, the Devil's Den abduction, Ted Owens. But I got sidetracked in treasure hunting stuff. So there's that. That's how my brain works. Very short, fast spurts. But he recalled being abducted and he was so terrified. He said, I remember it was him and his friend were camping. And he says, I remember being so scared. He's like, I was screaming out in terror. And he said, one of the beings telepathically looked at me and said, why are you screaming? You know, we always bring you back.
Oh, that's gross.
That doesn't make it okay. No, that made me want to fight everything.
Yeah, it doesn't make you okay.
Why are you screaming? We always bring you back.
Yeah.
You ain't taking me on a ship.
No.
Hey, I'm a big dude. You're going to need 2 tractor beams to pull me in there, or about 6 big aliens. Because not only am I heavy, I'm going to be fighting. So you might want to send like, I don't know, Baker's Dozen. I might not get all of you, but I'll get some of you. And we can go from there.
Get it.
You ain't trying to cut my eyes out. Cut my jaw. My draw straps is the moneymaker of the show here. Me and Kyle's straps. We don't have them.
Yeah, we ain't getting very far in the podcast world after that.
Cut our tongues out. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what this is.
That's a terrible thought.
Yeah. So.
Well, it's not done.
Gross.
It's not done.
And weird.
Yeah. I think it's the story of the young girl and the man. The military contact was further explaining this case and was saying that a police officer actually shows up and wanted access to the area because it was kind of in his area. And one of the overheads for the unit said, if this officer doesn't back off, kill him. Be done with it.
What?
Yep. We don't care. Be done with him. It doesn't matter. Like that's how serious they took the situation. They did not play games.
The fact that there's no motive makes it
that we know of.
Yeah. No plausible motive to our knowledge. is, it may, not that any motive would be acceptable, but at this point, all we know is they're just doing it to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
is not cool.
No.
At all. Ever.
That's crazy.
It is. In that ride along, the military guy was actually able to take Derek to a landing site and show him a massive burn mark in the shape of a circle. So like the military guy is pulling out all the stops. He's like, I do kind of feel like this was his first chance to come out with his story. And he just like opened the floodgates all at once and just overwhelmed Derek with it all.
Here's all the eggs in my basket.
Yeah. The unit would find these UFOs on radar effectively. And sometimes they would be sent, which is crazy. They would be sent out preemptively before the UFO even shows up.
What?
Yeah. They would just expect for it to be here and then they would just send the unit out.
Which is also, it's funny.
There's more to that than.
You bring that up because when you were talking about the Brazil reservoir guy, it immediately made me think of the men in the lead masks.
Yeah.
How they died.
Yeah.
And they had the lead mask on. What is the one commonality of these?
Everybody's eyes gone.
Everybody's eyes gone. But
that is fucking crazy.
They also preemptively got to a UFO sighting, the one on the beach.
Yeah.
When they went to try their magic box or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
They got there the UFOs showed up.
Maybe more of these cases are linked than we actually realize. And it does in a way it corroborates this guy's story. Because the guy says that it happens all over the world.
What?
So after the meetup, after the floodgates have opened and Derek is like, what the fuck?
I second that, Derek.
He's like, you know what? I know what I need to do. I'm going to go to the police. This guy's crazy. I'm out of here, dude. So he goes to the police.
Understandably so. Yeah. He did pull out a bunch of pictures of mutilated and bodies.
I'm certain that the military contact printed off said pictures and said, here you go. You keep these.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Derek goes to the police, shows them the pictures, tells them the story. The police are like, all right. We're going to go arrest this dude.
Where's the serial killer that you just let go?
Exactly. We're going to arrest this guy. Come back tomorrow, probably for questioning, pointing the guy out, so on and so forth. Derek shows back up tomorrow. Only to basically be interrogated by two plainclothed men.
Weird.
And they were telling Derek that this was all just some kind of joke. That's all it was.
Look at all these mutilated bodies. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, they were saying that the military contact basically saw the flyer and was going to play a joke on him because it'd be funny.
It's prankster time.
Yeah.
I saw your flyer and I cut up all these people.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. Gotcha.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, Derek, at that point, the military contact is like, shit, I'm on the verge of being exposed. I need to disappear. So he goes cold on Derek.
Can't blame him. Derek just threw him right under the bus.
Yeah. So after that, Derek publishes a story in his global tabloid. He calls it 580 Security Interview, even though the security the detail is called 58. But the head guy of the writers, whatever you want to call him, was like, hey, man, this story seems a little sensitive. Maybe we should change some of the details slightly to kind of cover things, you know? So he does. After the story makes its rounds, bigger, quote unquote, media outlets begin to approach Derek wanting to buy the story. They want to pay for everything. Now, doesn't make sense until you remember something. Derek turns them all down. And after he turns them down, people begin calling his phone, threatening him and telling him, you better not talk anymore about the story, so on and so forth. Shortly after all that is when his house catches fire.
Loses all his files.
Yep. The media outlet that reached out did so because they wanted the story. They wanted the story because they found out that Derek had photographic evidence and recordings of the military guy. So they simply wanted to buy the story, quote unquote, to acquire the material that Derek had. Mm. That's why they wanted it.
Weird.
And dude, I'm going to tell you right now, fucking hats off to Richard, because Richard gets a general description of where the military guy lives. Richard, who is the host of the documentary, starts driving up and down the street.
10 toes down.
Bro. And he's like, I have a general description of his house, so I kind of know what it looks like. I know that it's on this street, and I'm going to go start looking for it.
I love it. I love it.
Bro, he's like, I end up seeing the house that kind of think it is. I pull up. Luck would have it, homie's sitting out on his front steps. I know it's him. So he gets out, walks right over to him. Hey, you so-and-so? Yeah? I'm here to talk to you about Group 5-8. And he's like, what? He starts playing dumb with him. He's like, Group 5-8. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, it's a NATO Special Forces group. And he starts kind of like, Richard starts like hammering all these little details.
Just letting him know.
Yep. And the guy starts to kind of like serious up more and more and more. And finally he goes, who gave you that information? He's like, Tony Dodd did. And the dude looks at Richard and he just kept saying, he shouldn't have given you that. He shouldn't have given you that. You need to get in your car and drive away. So Richard leaves, but he comes back the next day with a letter and his two DVDs. One of them is the animal mutilation silent killers, because he's like, I'm hoping that he'll read this letter, which tells him how and when to contact me if he chooses to, right? And then the DVDs show that of the type of person that I am investigating this stuff. I do take it seriously.
Makes sense.
Right. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to drop this off in his mailbox and then see what happens. Well, as he approaches the guy's house, the guy's actually outside in his garden. They have a short conversation. He hands it off to him and he's like, all right, you know, and as Richard is leaving, the guy's like, I can't talk here. So Richard is in his car and he like restarts to interview himself. And he's like, he said that I can't talk here. So maybe that means it's possible.
There's a chance
I can talk to this guy. A couple of days later, Richard goes back.
He's persistent.
He is very persistent.
I like it.
But when the dude, real quick, when the dude was in the garden, Richard points out, he's like, this dude was all types of boogered up. Like, he was on crutches. He also had a wheelchair. He had MS real bad. I guess Richard did some investigating. MS can be a side effect of large amounts of radiation.
Weird.
He said the military guy had like weird blisters and burns on his body.
That's strange.
Yeah. And he ends up speaking with the military guy. He said most of the guys in the unit had died from radiation type illnesses. And this guy was the guy that had MS was only fucking 50.
That sucks.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm essentially waiting to die of cancer. It's basically, he's like, I'm terrified, but I'm almost positive that's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to develop some type of crazy cancer and so on and so forth.
I can't talk here. That's got weird implications too.
Yeah. They end up meeting
His house is bugged or
probably
something.
Probably
strange.
But Richard, because Richard keeps coming back, and the guy's like, dude, you've got to stop coming here. And so he tells Richard, he's like, go down here to this little park or whatever it was. I'll meet you down there. And he meets him down there, and they start talking. Richard starts bringing up stories. He's like, there was a story that I heard of you where you were like 5 feet from the craft. And he's like, why were you so close? He's like, we were guarding it. And he's like, Richard was like, was this a crash site? And this is peculiar to me because the guy said, I can't tell you any more than that. And that makes me feel like some of these other fucking whistleblowers that come out and they can only talk about what they've already had verified to come out.
Which is weird because essentially old boy is not even on the record. Like if you're going to talk about it, fucking talk about it.
Now, with that being said, during these conversations, he allowed Richard to take notes.
Because
Richard asked, like, hey, can I take notes for later reference? The guy's like, yeah, it's fine. So he pulls out pen and paper. He actually even ended up making sure Richard didn't have wires on him, have any recording devices on him.
I'm not allowed to.
I can't tell you any more than that.
Just that he was guarding a craft.
Yep. Yep.
Hmm.
But then he goes on to tell Richard how he's even seen aliens a few times in person. And he's like,
they suck.
He's like, they
suck.
They are never, or they're not even, they're nothing like what you see in the movies at all. Nothing.
That's creepy.
So Richard's like, okay, well, what did they look like? And he said, they look like the devil. It looked like a devil.
That gave me goosebumps.
And
that's why I'm telling you.
Richard thinks that what he saw was the reptilian variant.
That is gross.
And
also fight on sight.
And if you think about it, the reptilian variant makes sense. And as we continue on, you're going to understand why. The documentary at this point plays a clip from Bill Cooper at a 1989 MUFON conference. This is something I'm definitely going to look into. He's speaking about how there are way more crashes and bodies than we're aware of. But there are two crashes out there that the government will go to any length to keep hidden. Both of those crashes, and I've never heard of these at all, ever. Both of these crashes have taken place around Aztec, New Mexico. That is a city in San Juan County. And they will keep those buried because in both cases, those crashes contained human body parts.
What the fuck?
There were human body parts on board an extraterrestrial craft that had crashed. And those body parts were found in Aztec, New Mexico, a city in San Juan County. I've never even heard of them. Never even heard of Aztec, New Mexico.
You know what? All you people, all you love and light, lady and white people, but yet have at it.
Yeah.
I'm not ending up in a specimen jar on a UFO crashed in some county in New Mexico.
Facts.
I'll take my chances swinging first. And then, you know what? If I end up in a jar after that, that's on me.
Hey, man, you went down swinging.
That's right. I didn't just say, hey, they look like they're nice, and then get my legs cut off.
Yep.
No, none of them look like they're nice. If they look like they're nice, they're lying. That is manipulation.
Yeah.
I have never heard that, and I wish I wouldn't have heard it either, now, dude. Because now I hate aliens even more.
The military guy spoke about underground bases at Sunnybridge, And they even have a underground radar installation, which is what is used to track and find UFOs. They do end up expanding on it. I read that they don't, but they do. I guess it is legitimately a radar installation that is underground that at nighttime it comes to the surface. They drag it, activate it, bring it above the surface to track UFOs. The military guy kept telling Richard, you wouldn't want to see the bodies left behind. And no matter what anyone says, ETs are not friendly. And they've been doing these types of things since before we were even here. The military man said that he knows of 8 weapon systems around the world that have the ability to take down crafts. These are all laser-based weapon systems. It somehow interferes with the propulsion system of the UFO, which inevitably brings them down. He said the largest recovery of bodies was in Australia, where 24 bodies had been left. He believes they take parts that are connected to the nervous system and that these things know when and where and who to take. They know that the people they take are the ones that are not going to be missed immediately. He said that the ETs were extremely fast. They could essentially cover 60 meters in about a second. And he said they were so big and powerful. He knows that they would literally, if you fought them, they would just rip you limb from limb.
All right, maybe I'll try running first.
And Richard, OG, actually goes to the area where the supposed radar system was and took pictures. And he's like, there is CCTV cameras all over this area. The military guy said, a rabbit can't even go through there without being seen. It's impossible. The military guy, because he takes a picture of this area, and it's like, it kind of reminds you of like around here, right? There's a couple buildings out there, but it's got like a rolling hill of grass, and then there's a tree wall back there. And the military guy is like, the actual radar installation is beyond those trees there. You were kind of in the wrong spot, but it's back behind those trees. And there's a public road that goes past the installation. And the military guy is like, hey, never, never under any circumstances go down that road during the night. Do not. I'm warning you. Do not go down that road. You're going to regret it if you go down that road in the middle of the night. Ironically enough, as I kind of stated in the last episode, the military guy said that he thinks most of the information being put out is to confuse people. Also, the quote-unquote problem is getting bigger, and he thinks that in the near future, it may come out publicly what is actually going on because it's getting so hard to deal with it. That, like I said, was apparently recorded in 2013.
Yep.
But it is... And it's so bizarre that we sit here and we rattle off cases that we've covered that essentially could fall in line with everything this dude talked about.
It's crazy. It's crazy that it all just kind of all just sort of overlaps.
It does. It absolutely does. Like, because and even linking the lead mass, that fits.
Yeah,
it fits.
There are some books on these, on at least one of the Aztec saucer crashes, but it mentions nothing about human remains.
Dude, it's nuts.
Which makes sense.
Absolutely nuts.
You wouldn't talk about something you're trying to keep under
wraps. Yeah, they said that they'll go to any length to keep those buried.
It went out. Oh, yeah. There's already like you try to Wikipedia Aztec New Mexico crash. The first thing that comes up is hoax. Aztec New Mexico UFO hoax.
And it very well could be. I'm not here to say that it isn't or it is. But if there is, like everybody has to be real with themselves. Covering up extraterrestrial life is one thing. Covering up extraterrestrial life that abducts and mutilates people
sucks.
Is a massive necessity for the governments of the world.
But as with anything, the Aztec crash goes back and forth. So according to Wikipedia, Aztec New Mexico crash saucer hoax. The Aztec New Mexico UFO hoax, sometimes known as the, quote, other Roswell, was a flying saucer crash alleged to have happened in 1948 in Aztec, New Mexico. The story was first published in 1949 by author Frank Scully. I wonder if that's where she got her name from, in his Variety magazine columns. Later in 1950, the book Behind the Flying Saucers. In the mid-1950s, the story was exposed as a hoax fabricated by two con men, Silas M. Newton and Leo A. Gebrauer, as a fraudulent scheme to sell supposed alien technology. Beginning in the 1970s, some ufologists resurrected the story in books claiming the purported crash was real. In 2013, an FBI memo claimed by some ufologists to substantiate the crash story was dismissed by the Bureau as, quote, a second or third hand claim that we never investigated. So why would you release a redacted memo that was a second or third hand claim that was never investigated?
Cover up.
Stupid.
Cover up, bro.
Stupid. I don't
know, man. It was a weird, terrifying story.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All those implications of,
trust them. I don't care if they're Dracos. I don't care if they're reptilians. I don't care if they're mantis. I don't care if they're Atlanteans. You know what they're not? Humans. Human first.
Such a terrifying thought. That's a reality.
I will not go quietly.
You can't.
No.
You can't.
If it ever came
out, I'd rather square toe-to-toe and get taken out instantly.
100 times over.
Then get drug onto that ship and have God knows what done to me.
If I have the ability to consciously move, I'm going to be a problem.
Yeah. It's terrifying, man.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's no, they don't care who you are, how old you are. They don't care.
No.
Snatch you up.
Look up, I know I keep talking about it. I've started the episode. I'm sorry. Look up some of the incidents Dr. Carla Turner had pulled up. It is awful. It is full-scale manipulation.
I bet.
There was one man who saw a light outside of his house, looked out the window, classic lady in white encounter, classic. Beautiful woman, long white gown, long white hair, just absolutely immaculate. He said she just kept beckoning him. He said, I felt so safe. He said everything about this entity, everything about this being just radiated safety. He's like, I felt the need just to be embraced by her. And he said, and as soon as I got there and did, everything changed. He said he said he couldn't even describe what this thing was. It was just hideous, and it had him, and it knocked him to the ground, was on top of him. The next, he survived, he fought it off, whatever it was. But the next morning, he had all sorts of like claw marks and things where this thing was trying to essentially probably kill him and make him a body parts in a jar for the next UFO crash. So don't fault me when I say, I don't care. If they end up on my front porch as Jesus, I'm not trusting it.
No, you can't. You can't trust it.
No, because it sucks. I'm not trying to end up skinless or eyeless.
It just sounds gross.
Yeah. End up as body parts in a UFO crash. Speaking about the Aztec crash, there is like plaques where that thing supposedly went down.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep. Oh, that's not what I want to do. Hang on. Let me find it. Yeah. There is a plaque. Aztec UFO crash site plaque. On or about this site, March 25th, 1948, a spacecraft of unknown origins crashed or landed on this area in the Mesa. It's alleged that the Los Alamos radar station in nearby El Vado, New Mexico, tracked the errant landing to the site. A high security recovery operation led by the Air Force and the 5th Army Division was responsible for removal of the crash. The recovery operation took approximately 2 weeks, with all the remains being taken to Los Alamos Laboratory for scientific study and evaluation by some of the world's leading scientists. Later, it was rumored to have been taken to, again, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. The recovery of this craft by the U.S. government and military was one of the most secretive recoveries of spacecraft with origins unknown since similar recoveries in Roswell, New Mexico, 8 months earlier.
I was going to say, they learned from Roswell.
Yeah. The supposed craft was approximately 100 feet in diameter and 18 feet tall. It was one of the most intact crafts the government had ever recovered. Sadly, all occupants, as many as 16, died as a result of this crash, making full disclosure of both purpose and origin all but impossible. This plaque has been placed here to bring awareness to an event that had been kept secret for 59 years and is a significant part of our nation's history. That's fucking crazy. Nice, note, man, that they did not mention that there were human body parts, yeah, in the UFO. I also can't find a second crash. Which almost like maybe one was a smokescreen for another one.
Could be.
Weird.
It is weird, man.
Weird. I hate shit like that.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's, yeah, absolutely terrifying. It's not very, and it would suck to be the dude living out that life too. Going and seeing all that, experience and all that.
It makes me wonder, like, when we first got rocking and we had those two emails, man, I think about them all the time. The Monsters Are Real email.
Yeah.
And the South American, the guy from the military.
Yeah, yeah.
That went down to South America. Yep.
Yeah, I wish they would have finished off and came through.
Yeah, if you're still listening, we're still here. It got to the point where he asked us if we had secure phone lines.
Yeah.
Oh, bro. No. Send us a snail mail. That's the case.
Yeah.
And Monster's a real guy if you're still out there. Hope you're doing well. I haven't heard from you in a while. I tried emailing you the other day. Anyway. Yeah, that was heavy. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for choosing us to get your work week started. Hopefully it goes swimmingly. And yeah, check us out on all our social medias: Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. You know the drill. Till we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and I will not stutter when I say this: do not trust them.
Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars rewards. That means, win or lose, every bet you place brings you closer to the type of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app using promo code RADIODYW, place your first bet of $1 or more for a chance to double your winnings on your next 10 bets. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. Max bet of $25 for doubled winnings. Max, additional winnings of $2,500 per bet. Profit boost tokens expire 14 days after receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk: Geico's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with Geico.